I'm going to turn your Bibles to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, we're going to look at verses 3 through 12 this morning. You can see that the title of the message is Overcoming Temptation. I decided in honor of the day that I would change the title to Rise Up Over Temptation. So if you're not a football fan, that's lost on you. I'm sorry. Or you haven't been watching the news. Falcons are playing. Rise up. Anyway. As Jeff mentioned, we are in a weight loss competition. I started the diet a little over a week ago, and I'm telling you, I am craving Brussels sprouts. I mean, like nothing else. I just really, really miss Brussels sprouts. They're the best thing ever. And if you believe I'm craving Brussels sprouts, the word gullible is not in the dictionary, okay? So look it up. It's not there. I've craved numerous things over the past week, but Brussels sprouts has not been one of them. I want to be honest about temptation. To be tempting, something has to be desirable to us. It has to be something that we want. If someone were to come and offer me a New England Patriots game-worn jersey for $25, I don't want it. I'm not interested. It wouldn't be a temptation to me. On the other hand, if someone were to come and offer me an Atlanta Falcons game-worn jersey for $100, that would be tempting. I might want that, but sorry, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a Falcons fan. I have to confess this morning that I recently have taken on a new obsession. Back in October, my wife got me my first Case knife. Now, I had heard of Case knives. I was familiar with the brand, but I really didn't know much about them. But my wife got me a Case Trapper. This is a bone handle, chestnut finish Case Trapper. I began to look up Case knives and learn some things about their history and the different models. And for those of you who know anything about Case knives, you know there are a lot of models out there. When I first got one, I thought, man, it'd be kind of nice to have each model. Then I looked and that's not going to happen, let me just be honest, but I can tell you that Case knives are very sharp. This literally will shave the hair off my arm. I have done it, yes. I began to look into these and to learn some things about them, and this, like I said, this particular model is a Trapper. It has the two blades. As I studied, I began to realize there are an awful lot of collectors out there, and I haven't gotten into it to the extent that I can tell you about collector's models and that kind of stuff. I know they're models that had limited editions. Case knives come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. This is a Case knife. You can see it's a camo knife. It's called a peanut. I bet you can't guess why they would call this knife a peanut. It's just kind of small. But I've started to look, and when it comes to Case knives, I'm not so much about the collecting as I like what I look at. When I see a knife, I look at it, and if I like the way it looks, if it's appealing to me, then it becomes a knife that I want. So I like to go into stores now that carry Case knives. My wife will tell you this is something, and if I go by a store that might have Case knives, I'll look around and see if they... But I've only found one store close by that actually has a big selection, and that's Bargain Barn down in Jasper. They've got a large setup, showcases of Case knives, and it's just fun for me to go in there and look at those. But I'll have to confess, it is always tempting when I go in because there's always going to be something that appeals to me, something that I want to buy. So if I know that I can't afford to buy a Case knife right now, the smartest thing for me to do is not to go into the store, okay? You know, I could convince myself in my mind, well, I'm just going to go in and look, you know, and go in and spend some time looking around in the case and I'd really like to hold that one. You know, have them get it out and put it and look at it. And that's really, really getting way tempting now that I've got it in my hand. If I'm smart, I stay away from there. If I know I don't need to be buying a Case knife, stay away from it. I can convince myself that I can go and look around, but the smarter thing to do is to stay away. On the grand scheme of things, the reality is that temptation is pretty small. But today we're going to look at Joseph again, and you may recall that last week we looked at how he overcame betrayal. His own brothers betrayed him, but Joseph kept his eyes focused on God and realize that God was working everything together for good, even though he didn't know what was to come. Today we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Joseph is serving in Potiphar's house and having to deal with temptation. So let's take a look at what we can learn about overcoming temptation today in Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 3. And I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Genesis 39, beginning in verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. After some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, "Sleep with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such a great evil and sin against God?" Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Now one day, he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. That was the end of it there. Sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. My brain's like a few sentences into my sermon already. Sorry. Rewind, but Joseph fled the scene. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for all you do for us, and I thank you that your word is truth. God, I thank you that in our weakness you're made strong. I thank you that you made Joseph strong that day. Open our hearts and minds right now to hear from you. Help us to not just be hearers of your word, but to apply your truth today. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're going to take a look this morning at three keys to overcoming temptation. Three keys to overcoming temptation. The first key to overcoming temptation is to recognize temptation. Now, it would be easy to look at this text and overlook the reality that Joseph had more than one temptation. Obviously, Potiphar's wife was constantly after him, and we're going to look more at that in a second. But there are other things going on here in Joseph's life. First of all, one of Joseph's temptation here could have been that he could have easily gotten full of himself. He could have easily gotten full of pride. Here's Joseph, a Hebrew, in an Egyptian's house, and now his Egyptian master, his Egyptian boss, if you will, has put him in charge of everything in his household. Joseph could have been breaking his arm to pat himself on the back and say, "Look, man, you guys, you're from Egypt. I'm not, and I'm over you." But Joseph didn't get full of himself. He kept himself in check. Even though he was a foreigner in Potiphar's house, Joseph understood that God had done this for him. He had to recognize the temptation to be proud and stay away from being proud. He also had to recognize that it would have been easy to give into the temptation of taking from his master. His master had put him in charge of all the stuff. He could have said, "You know, master's really not doing a whole lot for me, so, you know, I'll take a little bit here, a little bit there." But Joseph didn't do that either because he was an honorable man. He wanted to honor God in what he was doing. The text also tells us that he was well-built and handsome. He had to recognize in this that he could have become enamored with his own appearance. He could not allow himself to be that guy that has to look in the mirror every time he passes by. Now let's just be honest. When it comes to mirrors, guys and gals are wired just a little different. Okay, a guy could be 60 or 70 pounds overweight with a receding hairline and no muscle tone whatsoever and look in the mirror and go, "Looking pretty good." You tracking with me here? Woman looks in the mirror and sees a dot on her leg and goes, "Oh, that's horrible. I look terrible." I mean, it's just a little different in the way that we're wired. Men are wired so different. Joseph recognized these temptations in his life. And as we've already mentioned, his greatest temptation had to deal with the persistence of the wife of Potiphar. She wouldn't leave him alone. Every day she was making passes at Joseph. Joseph had to recognize what was going on and avoid the temptation that was placed before him on a daily basis. Several years ago when I was pastoring at Sewell Mill Baptist in Marietta, I went to this one-day training that Dr. Mels Carbonell did. Now, Mels Carbonell has a ministry that's actually based out of Blue Ridge, Georgia, called Uniquely You. And what Dr. Carbonell did a number of years ago, he's a Christian counselor, psychologist. He took a spiritual gifts assessment and he tied that together with a personality assessment so that when you take this assessment, you find out what your spiritual gifting is, but you also find out what your personality type is. And in that personality type, he uses the DISC format, the D-I-S-C personality types. I'm not going to go into a whole lot about what that is. I know some of you probably in your workplace, maybe in other places, have taken something like that. But it's the four basic personality types. And Jeff, I want to assure you, you cannot fail a personality assessment. So no worries about that whatsoever. So in this assessment, basically what he does is he helps you see where your spiritual gifting is and where your personality is and how those things merge together and what areas of service might be meaningful to you, where you might find enjoyment in serving in God's kingdom. So it's a really great assessment. If you're not familiar with what your spiritual gifts are and you'd like to know, because I went to that one-day training all those years ago, I'm considered trained. Kind of a scary thing. But anyway, I do have those assessments, and I've used them, and I'd be glad to help you with that. But one of the things that it did for me when I took the personality assessment, and I didn't fail, I found out how I'm wired. I mean, I knew certain things about myself, but it helped me see, and it's been interesting to me through the years to see other people take this personality profile and realize, man, that's exactly how I tick. I've had a couple of people take it and go, well, that's not so much me. But on the whole, when people take it and they start reading the description of their personality type, they find out that that fits a lot. One of the great things about knowing your personality type is it helps you recognize your weaknesses, helps you recognize the things that sort of get under your skin, and it also helps you recognize the other personality types that get under your skin. It really does help you in dealing with people because we're all wired a little different. We all tick a little different, and sometimes we have to treat one another a little differently because of how we're wired, and that's one of the things that test can help with, that assessment can help with. We have to recognize temptation for what it is. Because we are all wired differently, different things are going to be temptation to us. Some of you here might really like Brussels sprouts. I'm not sure why, but you might, and that might actually be a temptation to you. But seriously, there are things in our life, things in your life that are temptation to you that aren't temptation to me. There are things in my life that are temptation to me that aren't temptation to you. And we have to understand that. We have to recognize it for what it is. For instance, if alcohol abuse was a temptation to you, then stay out of places. Don't put yourself in situations where that might be there to hinder your witness for the kingdom of God. So we see that the first key to overcoming temptation is to recognize temptation. And I'll put that up for you finally. Recognize temptation. The second key to overcoming temptation is to resist temptation. It's not enough to recognize temptation. You must learn to resist it. There's a commercial running right now for a company called LifeLock. It's one of those identity protection companies, one of those services where they guarantee to protect your identity. If they ever find out that your identity's been stolen, they'll do, according to the commercial, up to $1 million worth of work to get your identity restored and get your good name back. Well, one of the commercials they're running right now has this security guy in a bank. Well, the bank's being robbed, and when the bank's being robbed, the security guy just stands there and does nothing. And one of the people in the bank said, well, aren't you going to do something? He said, oh, no, I'm just a security monitor. I'm just here to let you know what the bank is being robbed. You know, their whole point is there are other agencies out there that monitor your credit but don't do anything about it if something happens. Not much help. The reality is we want to know that someone's going to be there to help us, to recognize temptation, but then to do nothing to resist it is, frankly, not to recognize just how dangerous sin is. When we realize that we're being tempted, we need to do all that we can to resist it. Joseph realized that Potiphar had given him everything in his house, but not his wife. Joseph had sense enough to resist her persuasive attempts to get him to betray his master. Sin is like that. Sin will show itself to be attractive, and the enemy will do everything he can to make it sound good, but he will never reveal the consequences of choosing that, of that bad decision. When you reject God, you're placing yourself in harm's way and opening yourself up to a world of danger that you could resist if you would exercise a little wisdom. In June of this year, Janice and I, we've been married 27 years. We've been together already over 30 years. Throughout our marriage, we've traded, we've sold, and we've bought a car too. I put a lot of miles on a car. We do as a family. We put a lot of miles on a car. So we've been through a few cars. And I got to sitting down as I was thinking about this week. I got to sitting down and started writing down because that was the only way I could remember the vehicles we had. So like I said, we'll be married this June 27 years. And counting the two cars we came into marriage with, the two cars we currently have, I don't count either one of the kids' cars because we didn't buy either one of those. But the cars that we have now, the cars we started with, over the course of nearly 27 years of marriage, we've had 21 cars, 21 vehicles. That's probably not a good thing. But I will say this. I did learn something along the way very early that's been helpful. I bought a Nissan King Cab SEV6 back in the day. It was used. And I drove that thing for about 10 years. But I remember specifically, I learned a lesson with that vehicle. I was sitting in a used car dealership when I was buying that. And I called up my banker on the phone and talked to him about the loan as I'm sitting there at the car dealership. And he asked me this question. He said, "What do you want your payment to be?" I was a little bit young and not quite sharp enough to figure out that you should never answer with a dollar amount. But I did. I said I wanted it to be $125. So you know what my payment was? $125. When I looked at that loan and realized that he'd charged me at least 2% more interest than I should have been paying, but I wasn't sharp enough to figure that out. I wasn't aware enough to realize it was a bad decision. I have since never used him again and also learned to pay more attention to the interest rate than the actual payment number. If you don't resist temptation, there's going to be consequences. There were consequences for choosing to do the wrong thing in that, for answering the question the way he asked it instead of asking about the interest rate. When we choose to do the wrong thing in our life, there are consequences. In Proverbs, Solomon is warning his children, specifically his sons, with her many persuasions she entices him. With her flattering lips she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool. Until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. If you look at the book of Proverbs, Solomon really spends about chapter 5 through chapter 7 warning his sons about the problem of an adulterous woman. He really focuses on the dangers of this. And when it comes to following after the wrong things, we have to understand there are consequences. There are things that are going to happen to us as a result of choosing to do things that are not God-honoring. I believe Joseph was relying on the power of God to overcome this temptation. We have to realize that we have the power of God at our access, that no matter what we face, we can overcome. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." You know, the problem is we get tempted and we don't look to God for the way of escape. God provides a way of escape, but we must look to him and trust him for that way of escape. We can endure it if we look to him. Temptation doesn't have power over you. You have power over it through the power of God, and you must look to God for that strength. You've heard me say it a few times. I'm going to say it again. It's not Flip Wilson, Geraldine theology. No offense, Geraldine. Flip Wilson, Geraldine. No. It's not the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do it. You have power over the temptation. You don't have to give in. So we see the first key to overcoming temptation is to recognize temptation. The second key to overcoming temptation is to resist temptation. The third key to overcoming temptation is to run from temptation. You're not always going to be able to control the circumstances around you. You're going to be thrust into situations that are beyond your control, but that doesn't mean that you have to give in to temptation. As I said in the beginning, I'm trying to lose some weight. But if I find myself in a restaurant that's not necessarily the best restaurant to diet in, I can still make better choices and choose things that are going to be better for me than maybe choices I was making before. Joseph found himself in a situation that was the perfect storm to fail. Potiphar's wife had already been after him for some time, and now Joseph shows up to the house to work, and there are no other servants around. Now, I was born at night, that's the truth, but I was not born last night. I do not think this was accidental. I think Potiphar's wife, had set this up. I believe she sent the servants out. I believe she gave them other things to do. She maybe gave them the day off, but whatever the case, I think she was setting up the perfect situation for Joseph to fail. She grabs his garment. She tells him to come to bed with her, but he does the hard thing. He does the right thing, and he runs away from the temptation, actually leaving his garment in her hand. Now, you know, if you've studied Genesis much at all, that things don't go well for Joseph after this. Potiphar's wife takes the garment out, shows it to the other servants, and says, Joseph threw himself at me. And then when I screamed, he ran off. And then little Miss Do-Right, when Potiphar gets home, goes to him and tells him the same lie. So needless to say, Potiphar goes to Joseph. Because who's he going to believe, his wife or Joseph? And he sends Joseph to prison. Now, I got to be honest with you, that stinks. Because when you do the right thing, good things are supposed to happen to you. Nothing bad is supposed to happen to you when you do the right thing. That is false theology that is not present within the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear. Sometimes we're going to do the right thing and still bad things are going to happen. And it happened in Joseph's life. But God had a plan. God was not done with Joseph. God was putting Joseph where he needed to be. We're going to look in the days ahead more at what happens to Joseph and what takes place in his life. But God was working all things for Joseph's good in this. Things will get better. Just because things don't turn out the way that we want to doesn't mean that we should stop doing what's right. Joseph might have stayed at Potiphar's house. He might have given in to Potiphar's wife and things might have gone on. But let me tell you, Joseph would have been torn up knowing that he had not been obedient to God, knowing that he had not done what God wanted him to do. Joseph could sleep with a clear conscience knowing that he had been obedient to God, that he had set an example for us to follow when we find ourselves being thrust into a tough temptation. We can flee. We can run away. We can get away from the temptation that we're facing. This morning I'm going to share I'm going to share a video clip with you from a movie called Courageous. Some of you have probably seen this movie, but there's a moment in the movie, and it's actually in this clip, it's actually pieced together so that you see sort of the whole scenario where a man by the name of Javier is faced with a tremendous temptation. So let's see what happens to Javier in this clip.
Martinez, have a seat.
Thank you, sir.
You've been very productive your first month here. You do good work.
I'm very grateful to be here.
Well, Mr. Martinez, the reason I called you in here is that I'm looking for an additional manager to oversee inventory and shipping. Carries more responsibility, but it pays more. Sound like something you might be interested in?
Yes, I would.
But before I make my final decision, I'd like for you to work a shift in that department next week. You'll see a list of 17 crates coming in on this sheet. Now, one of those crates will be going to a separate warehouse. Mr. Martinez, when you report the inventory, I'd like for you to report that we received 16 crates.
17 are coming in. But you want me to write down 16?
Yes, that's right. I have another purpose for the extra crate. You are on my team, right? Because I really can't use people who aren't on my team. Tell you what. You think about it tonight and give me your answer in the morning. Make it 10 o'clock. But I'll need to know if you really want this job.
Good evening, sir.
Javi, we need this job. For the first time in a year, we're able to pay the bills.
I know, Carmen, but he made it very clear. If I was not a team player, he did not want me there.
Maybe it's not wrong. It just looks that way. He's the owner of the factory.
He asked me to write down false information, Carmen. He asked me to lie.
I don't want us to go back.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Martinez. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I don't know yet. Please, have a seat. I trust you've had time to think about our conversation yesterday.
Yes, sir, I did.
And what did you decide? Are you on my team?
Mr. Tyson, I am very grateful to have a job here. But I cannot do as you have asked.
And why is that?
Because it is wrong, sir. And it would be dishonoring to my God and my family to lie on that report.
Do you understand what this may do to your job here?
Yes, sir, I do.
Javier, may I shake your hand? Young man, you just gave me the right answer. I've been looking for someone to manage inventory and shipping, and quite frankly, you were the last person on my list. But I need somebody I can trust. Will you take the job? We'll adjust your pay.
I'll be honored to, sir.
Good. Then the job is yours. Now, Walter will go over all the specifics with you, and I'll make the announcement to the staff on Monday. Congratulations, Javier. Oh, and Javier, thanks for your integrity. It's rare.
Well done, Javier. After six times, I was getting discouraged.
Well, got to be honest, doesn't always happen like that. Don't always get awarded for your integrity. But we need to be people of faith, people of integrity, people who honor God in what we do. Javier was rewarded that day because he did what pleased God, because he did what was right. When we're faced with temptation to give in to the wrong things, as Christians, let's choose to do the right thing. Let's choose to do what glorifies God. Even if no one on earth rewards us for doing the right thing, God will see and God will know. God knew Joseph's heart. Though Joseph didn't get the immediate results that he wanted, he still chose to obey God, and God blessed him in the end. When it comes to temptation, if you're going to overcome it, you must recognize it, you must resist it, and you must run from it. You can honor God, and no temptation can overcome you because God has given you the strength. He will give you the strength to overcome it. Christian, if you realize that you've been giving into temptation way too much, confess that today and ask God to help you overcome temptation rather than being overcome by it. Maybe you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You've never invited him into your life. I want to encourage you today, don't waste this moment right now. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He's done everything necessary for you to be forgiven and have eternal life, but you must receive the free gift that he's extending to you. Maybe you're here today and you have some burden or hurt. You just need to lay at his feet. Resist the temptation of continuing to carry it on your own and trust it to him. He will see you through. He will carry you. He will give you the strength that you need. Trust him. I promise you he can do that. there are some here that feel led to be a part of this body of believers. As we have the invitation in just a moment, you come and share with me that God's leading you here to serve him through this church. But whatever God's put on your heart today, let him have his way right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, for the way that you love us, for the way that you care for our needs. God, I just pray that we would live for you in all that we do. God, help us to make the hard choices that glorify you in spite of what circumstances may end up that aren't good. Lord, Joseph was willing to do the right thing, the hard thing. Help us to be willing to do that and to trust you with the results. God, for anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray right now they'd have the courage to ask your forgiveness and place their faith in you. Lord, for others who are hurting here today, just minister their need right now. Whatever you need to do in our hearts, whatever you need to do in this place, we give this invitation time to you. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.